You may be seated, and if you would, turn to in your Bibles to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. My subject today, why not you? Why not you? I want to challenge each and every person in this place to be all that you can be in God, to do everything God has placed in your heart, and to reach your full potential. You don't have to live in the low places, because by faith you can dwell in the high places. Look at John 15:16 with me, one of my favorite verses. Jesus said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you." That's a powerful verse of scripture. God said, "You didn't come looking me. I came looking you, and I hand selected you if you're born again, and I chose you." So if God chose you, why not you? Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for victory in Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. It's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Lord, deposit in people's heart today the great potential, Lord, a revelation of it, the potential you have deposited in their heart. Help us as a church to become everything you've called us to be. Help us as a people individually to be everything you have chosen us to be. You said, "I know the thoughts I have for you, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a future, to give you a hope, to give you an expected end." Thank you, Lord, for life more abundantly and the everlasting life and heaven too. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. All of us want to be chosen. And one of the greatest challenges in childhood is the stress that we face in those times when we may or we may not be chosen. So many times in a classroom or on the playground, I remember standing as a child just hoping that I would be chosen. Have you ever been there? See, those who are picked or chosen, they are prone to develop a high level of self-esteem. And likewise, those who are frequently rejected or bypassed or not chosen, they are prone to develop a level of low self-esteem. When someone is frequently rejected or frequently not chosen, that person may develop a conviction that they are undesirable or they are unfit. And they may ultimately conclude that they will never be chosen. But I read your text where God says, "I have chosen you." And so many people, they get saved, but they feel like, "I could never be chosen. No one else has ever chosen them." So they feel that God would never choose them to do anything in his kingdom. Some people are saved. They are chosen, but they're frozen. They're frozen right where they are. They're frozen at their present level. They're frozen at their present position. They are frozen in a painful past. But I'm here to tell you today that God is more interested in your future than God is in your past. Hallelujah. Some people feel like that everyone else is entitled to the promotion, but not them. They have developed low self-esteem. Many feel that there's no reason that God would choose them since they've never been chosen. They feel unworthy. They feel unqualified. They feel they could never do anything great. They feel excluded. They feel locked out. Locked out of the possibility of a great destiny. I love the Word of God. And I love to look through it and find the dreams that God had given to people, because God is a dream maker. And when God chooses you, God deposits the seed of a dream in your heart. And if you will walk with God, and if you will obey God, and if you will seek God, God will cause that dream to come to pass. Don't ever stop dreaming. Don't ever let a quitting spirit get upon you. You are who God said you are. You can do what God said you can do. And God has destined you to do great things. So don't accept where you are. Do like Paul said, I'm pressing toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, my Lord. That's the key. Get into Christ. Get Christ into you. Become one with him. And when you do, guess what? Then God will order your steps and order your stops. And if you'll seek him first, he'll add everything you'll ever need in your life. Great it is to dream a dream when you stand in youth by the starry stream. But a greater thing is to live life through and say at the end, the dream is true. The dream came true. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. See, God does things differently from man. And when God saved you, God said, I choose you. That's beautiful to me. God says you're chosen. You can be something great. You can make a difference, God said, because I chose you. And it's a trick of the devil to try to make you think that you can never do anything great in the kingdom of God. It's a trick of the devil to try to make you think that you can never be a success in the business world. I was going over this message, and I thought about my son-in-law, Dr. Nathan Joyner. He has a business, but you know, if he hadn't gone to school, if he and my daughter hadn't made that trip and prepared, he would never have that business. If he started his business and he had to rent it at first, but guess what? He just bought a building because he had a dream. And he's renting part of that building out, and his rent is less now than what he was paying someone else, and he'll own that pretty soon. Now, he could have chosen to be a bricklayer because his dad is a multimillionaire. He is. And he could have just said, well, I'll just ride on daddy's coattail. But no, he had a dream. He didn't want to break bricks. He wanted to crack bones. Hallelujah. He's a chiropractor. So he went for his dream. And what I am telling you is God deposits dreams in you, and it's up to you what you do with the dream. Amen. When God chooses you, God will challenge your faith. I said, when God chooses you, God will challenge your faith. The Apostle Peter and the others, they were out on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus came walking on the water. And at first they thought it was a ghost, but Jesus said, be of good cheer. It is I. Have you ever heard him come to you like that? Be of good cheer. It is I. I found John 15:11, and Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. I saw that, and I said, I received that. I've had heartaches. I've had problems. I've had setbacks, but I've snapped back from every setback. Praise God. Here I am today, going through heart surgery, going through all types of battles with the devil, but God chose me to do something, and I got good news. You won't leave this place until you do what God chose you to do if you walk with God. Somebody go and praise him. Hallelujah. They thought it was a ghost, but Peter said, Lord, if it is you, then bid me to come on the water. And when Peter said that, he challenged Jesus to challenge him. He challenged Jesus to challenge him. What is that dream? Jesus will challenge you. Jesus challenged Peter to do the impossible. And he said, come. C-O-M-E. And when Jesus challenged Peter, he commanded the impossible. He made the impossible possible. I said he made the impossible possible. I want to tell you that all of our impossibilities, they are possible with God. Hallelujah. Jesus commands the impossible, and then he makes it possible. And what did Peter do? He stepped out of that boat on the word of God, and he walked on the water. He actually walked on the word, C-O-M-E. By faith, he did the impossible. All things are possible if you dare to believe God, because God said, I choose you. You are chosen. So don't be frozen where you are. Just go for it in Jesus' name. Somebody go and praise the Lord. Why you? Why not you? Jesus said, you've not chosen me, but I have chosen you. I have ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, in the name of Jesus, the Father, he will give it you. God is watching over you. God is for you. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Well, there's a real devil. And so many people, they try to resist him in their human strength. The Bible, the order of it is, Submit yourself to God. Draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I mean, he will run in holy terror when you start praising God and invoking the name of Jesus and claiming the power of Calvary's blood. Somebody gonna praise God. Hallelujah. Now, God has a purpose for each person in this room, and you can reach your potential if you will never give up. Let me say that again. God has a purpose for each person in this room, and you can reach your potential if you will never give up. You know, I was told about elephants years ago, and sometimes they're taken in their infancy and they're changed by the leg to a steel peg driven deep into the ground. And they struggle against the chain and they struggle against that steel peg, but since they're not able to get away, they just finally submit themselves to that condition, and they no longer try to break the chain. And when they stop trying, the trainer replaces the steel peg with a wooden peg, and he replaces that strong steel chain with a weak chain that they could easily break. But the elephant, they never try to break it because they don't believe that they can break it. How many people today that you're locked up in chains, yet you don't believe that you can break it? Well, you're not the chain breaker. Jesus is the chain breaker. Hallelujah. Glory. Woo! And the devil never made a lock to which Jesus doesn't hold the key. And the devil never made a chain so strong that Jesus cannot break it. The devil will wrap your life up in chains. Chains of addiction. Chains of disappointment. Chains of failure. Chains of discouragement. Chains of bondage. Chains of sickness. Chains of disease. But when Jesus comes along, he messes up what the devil has planned to do to your life. Let me tell you, put your hand in the hand of God. Walk with God and goodness and mercy. They will follow you everywhere you go. God is for you, and God gave heaven's best for you. He spared not his own son, but delivered him up on that cross for us all. And the Bible says, with him shall he not freely give us all things. Take the limit off of God. When I got saved and God delivered me from the bondage I was in, I said, oh, God, I felt every chain break. I hadn't even been sanctified. I got sanctified 3 days later. But I tell you what, every chain the devil had wrapped me up in, woo, glory to God. That's why I dance. I'm free. I will not be held in bondage. I don't care what the rest of the church world does. Oh, Michael, she couldn't stand David. He come dancing before the Lord and with all his might. And she said, you act as a foolish man. He said, you hadn't seen anything yet. Let me tell you, devil, you hadn't seen anything yet. Glory to God. I'm going to praise him. He brought me out of darkness into the marvelous light, saved my soul, wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And all I have to do is think about that. And I'm free, free, free. Go on, praise God. Whom the Son makes free is free indeed. But I'll tell you something else. Get the sin out of your life. Because sin will nullify your victory. Let me say that again. Get the sin out of your life. Sin shall not have dominion over you. When you got saved, God broke those chains. Don't give yourself back to the devil. Amen. Get the sin out of your life because sin will nullify your victories. Sin is like letting the enemy get in behind your lines and listen to what's going on. Sin has a devastating, crippling effect. God's plan for us is holiness and then victory. Let me say that again. That doesn't mean you never make a mistake. It just means God looks upon the thought and intent of the heart. He knows what you're going to do. He knows you're lying down. He knows you're rising up. He's purposed great things for you. He knows the thoughts he has for you. He knows the plans he has for you. Don't nullify those plans. He said, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Have no fellowship with the works of darkness. He talks about adultery, fornication, homosexuality, and lesbianism, and all kind of stuff like that, lying, stealing, and cheating. He said, such were some of you. You used to be like that. I used to be a sinner, but I'm saved by grace. Glory to God. He took my place on the cross where he died my sins to erase. I used to be a sinner, but I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. Hallelujah. I'm saved by grace. Go on, praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't let the devil nullify your victory. You spent enough time in his camp. Get out of the clubs. Get out of the cesspools of sin and iniquity. Quit lying. Quit cheating. Quit shacking up. My wife said, don't say shack up, Jerry. It dates you. Well, I'm dated. Hallelujah. I'm 75 years young, full of the fire of God and the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! I got something in me. Called the Holy Ghost, the Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. You got him too. Turn him loose. Watch him work. Hallelujah. Now when God chooses you, God will promote you. I said when God chooses you, God will promote you. Look at Psalm 75 and 6. For promotion, coming neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. Doesn't mention the north. God sits in the sides of the north. Here's where promotion comes from. But God is the judge. He put it down one. He setteth up another. See, God is unlimited. And God can do anything, anytime, through anyone that he chooses. And you are chosen. Why you? Why not you? God has a million ways to accomplish his objective. Look at this, Psalms 135 and 6. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, he did in heaven and in earth, in the seas, and all the deep places. Whatever God pleases to do, God can do. Now, church, we got to pray because fraud has invaded this nation. Lies and crooked deals and voter fraud. And it's going to come out because the Bible says, whatsoever is done in darkness shall be revealed in the light. But God chose Donald Trump against all odds in 2006. That man got in. I mean, that party had it all sold up and they thought it'll never change. But weren't they surprised when God sets down, he puts down one and sets up another. And now they're trying to mock God and mock the church that's praying. And they're trying to mock our voting system, to mock our constitution, to mock our constitutional rights. Not so. Not on my watch. Hallelujah. I can pray. I can talk to the God in heaven. You can pray and you can talk to the God in heaven. And God will move if the church will pray. Prayer moves the hand of God. I said prayer moves the hand of God. And we don't have to sit back on the seat of do little, do nothing. No, we're prayer warriors. And when the church prays, then the church prevails. Glory to God. God can do anything, anytime he pleases. And our scripture text told us God has chosen you. And God chooses whomever he wants to choose. And he does not choose man based on man's criteria. When God makes a choice, he chooses so as to show forth his glory. And when we come into the presence of God, we're to praise him. And we're to worship him and we're to give God all the glory. And the reason for that is that you and I, we can never be all that we should be until we get a glimpse of God's glory and realize who we are in Christ Jesus. But God acts and God chooses in a way that the Bible says no flesh should glory in his presence. Look in Isaiah 42 and 8. God said, I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another. Now look at this. Glory is a part of God. The glory of God is all that God is. It's all that God has. It's the anointing of God. It's the miracle working power of God. It's the very presence of God. And God's glory is in this place. It's inside of us. His presence. Hallelujah. So glory is a part of God. See, he won't share his glory with another, but you're not another. You are his. You are chosen. You are special. You are hand selected because you are part of the body of Christ. Look at this. Jesus is praying his high priestly prayer in John 17:22. Jesus said, "In the glory which thou gavest me," he's talking to his Father, "I have given them," woo, "that they may be one, even as we are one." Look at this. "I and them and thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them." God loves you as he loved Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Doesn't that baffle your mind? He wants the world to know that the church, the ecclesiastes, the call out one, the chosen one, they are special to God. And I want to tell you something. This nation is special to God. There are people that think nations don't matter, but God raises up nations. Nations are made up of people, and God has cast a special eye upon Israel and upon America. And as goes America, so goes the nations of the world right now. Jesus is getting ready to come, but praise God, before he comes, there's going to be some glory poured out. There's going to be the former rain and the latter rain in the same season. So get ready and watch God work in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when God does it, God chooses a person through whom he can get the glory, because God chooses the most unlikely candidates. God chooses the most unlikely candidate. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:26. "For you see your calling, brethren, have that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." He does call some wise men. He does call some noble men. And he does call some mighty men, but not many. Because if God were to choose those, the ones who are great, they would attribute their accomplishments to their own abilities. So the Bible says, look at 1 Corinthians 1:27 and following. "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised has God chosen, yet things which are not, to bring to naught, to nothing, to zero, the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." So it's not your family background, it's not your position, it's not your abilities. God simply said, "I choose you." Look at your neighbor and tell him you're chosen. God chose you. Hallelujah. Now in the Old Testament, in the time of the judges, Gideon was hiding from the Midianites, trying to get enough wheat just to feed his family. And the angel of the Lord came to Gideon and said, "Hail, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor." Gideon is in hiding, and I can just hear the angel saying, "Be quiet." He's talking to the angel of God. He said, "Be quiet, be quiet. They'll kill us all. I'm trying to get a little wheat to feed my family here." But the angel said, "The Lord is with you, Gideon, and he has chosen you to deliver his people from the enemy." And Gideon said to the angel of the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? My family is the poorest family in all of Manasseh, and I'm in the least in my family. I'm at the bottom of the totem pole." But the angel of the Lord said, "That's all right, Gideon. You're the man. You're the one, Gideon, because God has chosen you." So it's not your family, it's not your pedigree, it's not your ability. Amen. Those things, they don't really matter to God, because God can choose anybody he chooses. And when God chooses you, he puts the ability in you to do what he has called you to do. Hallelujah. So it's not your age. I thought about Moses this morning. Moses was 80 years old when that burning bush God appeared to him and said, "Go deliver my people." So it wasn't his age. Then I thought about Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, "I cannot speak, God." God said, "I've chosen you." He said, "Look, I'm a child. I'm just a young person." But the Lord said unto him, "Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I send thee." When I got saved, the devil said, "You can't teach Sunday school." He said, "Why, you don't know the Bible. And I think many times, and God spoke to me out of Isaiah 41:10. He said, "Fear thou not, for I'm with thee. Yea, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And God chose me, and I knew I was chosen. I didn't want to do it, but I surrendered all to Jesus that day when I went to the cross. And I said, "Yes, Lord, I'll do whatever you call me to do. I'll go through every door that you open. I will never be slack in my assignment. I'll go till I can't go anymore. I'll preach till I wear the mics out." I done retired one of them, hallelujah. Preach that mic to death, glory to God. God chooses you, not based on your ability. God just chooses you. And it's not your age. You know, the best that you will ever do, it may be just before you. Only God knows that. Look at Jeremiah 1:10. God is talking to Jeremiah. He says, "See, I have this day set thee over nations and over kingdoms to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant." See, when God chooses you, you don't have to be worried about your age. You really don't. Now, I'm not 25 anymore, and I realize that, but I'm strong. And I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Stronger than I've ever been in the Lord. And I'm getting stronger and stronger every day. Though this outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Turn God loose. Let God work. Praise God. Hallelujah. David was the youngest in his family, and he was the most unlikely candidate. And the custom was always to choose the older over the younger. As a matter of fact, when Samuel said to Jesse, "Bring in all your sons, I'm going to anoint one of them as the king," Jesse didn't even think enough of David to invite him to the party. The 11 oldest sons came. And when the anointing oil didn't flow to any of them, Samuel was confused. And he said, "Jesse, is this all of your sons? Do you have any more sons?" I mean, here's the prophet of God sent to anoint somebody by God. And Jesse said, "Oh, yeah, I got one more out there in the field. But you don't want him. Surely you don't want him." But when David came in, the oil flowed. It flowed upon him, and God explained his choice by saying, "The Lord, man looketh upon the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart." I love that. Man looks at the outward appearance. Man looks at your ability and says, "You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that." But God said, "I've chosen you. And the oil will flow if you'll do what I told you to do." See, it's not your age. It's not your ability. It's not your moral perfection or your righteousness. It's God who imparts his righteousness to you. And it's God who does the choosing. Now, at the end of the reign of David, you know, there was a man named Solomon. Solomon was the son of Bathsheba. Maybe you can see yourself in some of this. I see myself in a lot of the Bible. Bathsheba had been David's wife. She became his wife by adultery, by murder, and by deceit. And the first child that was born died because of the wrath of God. That child died because the law required that a blood sacrifice be made. That child was a type of Christ who would shed his blood on the cross for us. That's why David and Bathsheba were allowed to live. Do you want to know why you and I are allowed to live at times? Because the blood of Jesus was shed at Calvary's cross to save, woo, and to redeem us. You are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. I just lost all my homiletics. Woo, glory to God. Think I'll preach a little while. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, Solomon seemed to be the least likely candidate. His background seemed to disqualify him. People would be prone to reject him and look down upon him. Do you know that what David did with Bathsheba? My God. But see, when the time came for God to make a choice, God said, "I choose Solomon." Why you? Why not you? Then the Apostle Paul, look at this, 1 Corinthians 15 and 9. He said, "For I am the least of the apostles." He said, "I'm not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." Woo! I love this. But by the grace of God, I am who I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they, yet not I, but the grace of God which is in me. Hallelujah. God loves to go outside of the box. God loves to baffle people when he makes his choice. Hallelujah. Amen. He goes outside the box. You know, the religious crowd, they think it all belongs to them. You don't need religion. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to get over some of those traditions, take off those denominational glasses, get lost in this book, get lost in the Word of God, and love Jesus with all our heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. I'm like the psalmist. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made the heavens and the earth. He shall never, 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 never suffer the righteous to be moved. Glory to God. Praise you, the Lord. Hallelujah. God loves to go outside the box. Now, in the Bible, there were some Jews that thought they had a corner on God. But look at what Jesus said to them in Luke 4:25. He said, "But I tell you the truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when a great famine was throughout all the land." Look at this verse. "But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto a city of Zidon, unto a woman that was a widow." Now, this woman was not a Jewish woman. Many Jewish women were there. But God went around all of them and reached way over and got that one. Hallelujah. And then Jesus goes on to say, look at Luke 4:27, "And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them were cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian." He was a Gentile also. But God reached over all the Jews, over all the Israelites, got outside the box, reached way over and saved those two people. Hallelujah. And he bypassed everybody who thought that they were somebody. Everybody who thought they were supposed to get the blessing. But let me tell you about another one. When I was in my sin, God walked around a man with a PhD. He walked around a millionaire. He walked around some fine folk in the community. And he reached way over into the cesspool of sin and iniquity. And he laid his hand upon me. Said, "I choose you." Hallelujah. I don't know why he chose me. I wouldn't have chosen me, but he did. Maybe he saw something in me. I don't know what he saw, but I saw something in Jesus. I saw something in God. When that nail-scarred hand touched me, I came out of that light, and I've been free, 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 free ever since. Hallelujah. Go on, praise him. Don't get religion. Get a relationship with Jesus Christ. Love him, praise him, obey him. Do the very best you can, and be all you can be, because God said, "I have chosen you." Why you? Why not you? Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Bible says that God would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. And I need to say this. Don't ever let somebody else's success become your goal. Because if you do, you will become covetous. Don't ever measure yourself by what others accomplish. Measure yourself by what God has called you to do. Just be the best you that you can be. Don't be what you ain't. Be what you is. Hallelujah. Don't try to be somebody else. If God didn't call you to do something, don't try to do it. Do what God called you to do. And if you'll do that, you'll be happy. But if you measure yourself by others, you will be frustrated. And I promise you, the devil will put a spirit of covetousness on you. And you'll despise those people for what they've accomplished. Just do what God has called you to do where you are, because you're chosen. Hallelujah. Go and praise the Lord. God has chosen you. Paul begins to talk about it and say, yes, we're chosen. Look at Ephesians 1 and 4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. And then it goes on to say that he chose us to be holy and blameless before him. It's the blood that cleanses us. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple was rent in two, letting us know that whosoever will come, let them come. And you want God to choose you. Now, some people, they say, oh, I don't want God to choose me, Pastor. I just want to sit in the back of the church and I want to take it easy and do my own thing. Preacher, I don't want God to choose me, but let me tell you something. You do want God to choose you. I'll give you three things real quickly why you want God to choose you. Number one, when God chooses you, you win. I said, when God chooses you, you win. Praise God. Look at Psalm 65 and 4. Blessed is the man whom thou chooseth and causeth to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. I am chosen. Woo! You are chosen. You are blessed, 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 and highly favored of God. Get that in your spirit. Look at your neighbor and tell him you are blessed and highly favored of God. Hallelujah. See, everything is all right in my Father's house. I'm chosen. Everything's all right. No hung in my Father's house. No troubles in my Father's house. No distress in my Father's house. If God chooses you, you win. So you do want God to choose you, and you do want to do what God chose you to do. Secondly, when God chooses you to do something, you cannot die until that thing is done. I said, when God chooses you to do something, you cannot die until that thing is done. Paul was told by God, he said, you're going to Rome. You're going to testify in Rome about me. Paul said, yes, Lord. And on the way to Rome, a great storm came. The storm tore that ship apart. Paul said, that's all right. I'm not going to die because I'm on my way to Rome. He ended up on the Isle of Melita. Deadly poisonous snake fastened himself to Paul's hand. Paul shook it off in the fire. Hallelujah. Folk were standing there waiting for Paul to die. Paul said, no, that's all right. You can wait a long time. You can be waiting a long, long time because I can't die. I'm on my way to Rome. Folks may be waiting for you to die, but you can't die until your mission is accomplished and what God has chosen you to do, go on and praise the Lord. And Paul, there were 264 souls. The Bible called them souls. Every one of them was saved because Paul was with them. I had a man in Vietnam, a mortar, had my name. A lot of them burst around me, but this one had my name on it. My mother woke up 13,000 miles away and prayed for me. And one of my buddies across from me, he was killed. Hit, struck in the heart and the mortar cut his jugular vein. The guy next to me, I was picked up and thrown backwards. He survived it. He survived because he was next to me, unless he had a praying mother somewhere. That mortar had his name on it, too. But he got hit in the back, and I was picked up and thrown backwards. Everywhere I was sitting was blown all to pieces. But mother prayed. Somebody prayed for me. Hallelujah. Somebody prayed for you. You're here because we prayed for you. Hallelujah. See, Paul, he couldn't die, and you can't die either. Until God's will is accomplished in your life if you're walking with God. Number three, you want God to choose you because when God chooses you, God will direct every aspect of your life. I tell you, he will direct every aspect of your life. Get God involved in your life and make sure that everything is in place. I've been through some hard places, but I know one thing. There's a law called Romans 8:28. Put it up there, Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. If I'm living according to his purpose, I'm not going anywhere until his purpose is accomplished in me. So if you don't have the blessings of God on your life, come to Westmoreland. The blessings in the house will follow you to your house. I promise you that. And if you don't have blessings on your life, find somebody that does and ride their coattail. Hallelujah. I've been riding other people's coattail for a long time, but I finally got to the place, praise God, I got some people riding my coattail. If you walk with God, God who is rich in mercy, God will establish you. God will set you. God will do great and wonderful things in your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and everything will be added. I never went looking wealth. Wealth came looking me. That's a statement. I was in the business world and I left there to preach. They offered me a job as a consultant. I turned it down. God had already stopped me twice. I had a business of my own. I sold that. I started to preach. And it was more money than I'd ever made in my life. And I said, no. I mean, more money than you could imagine. I mean, big bucks. And they said, you can keep your church. Said, and we'll fly you out on Monday and we'll fly you back on Friday. You can keep your church, and every hour you spend over 40 hours, we'll pay you time and a half. Man, I'm calculating big dollars. I turned it down. But guess what? God has made it all up to me. I don't know how he's done it. I just don't know. I don't even care. Hallelujah. I pay my tithe. I give. I practice seed time, harvest time. I'm an extravagant giver. Get extravagant in what you do for God. Don't hold back on God. Do you want all that God has for you? Release what you got in your hand. Put it in God's hand. Watch God work. He's chosen you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come, Pastor Ricky. I'm on you in this thing. God is looking for people who want his best. God wants somebody that will serve him. God is looking for people with faith. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please him. And so God is not looking for education. He is not looking for social position. He is not looking for ability. God is looking for faith. And when God finds faith, God performs miracles. When God finds faith, God does great things. God is looking for faith because faith pleases him. Why you? Why not you? It's your time. It's your day. God has chosen you. And you qualify when God says, I choose you. The Bible says, to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. You have omnipotence in you. You have the power to become. You have the power to become something great. Why? Because God said, I have chosen you. Let us stand.
You deserve the glory and the honor.
Don't go looking things. Go look in Jesus.
Lift our hands in worship.
Get in the book.
As we praise your holy name. You deserve the glory.
Be all that God called you to be right where you are. And he'll promote you. It's never too late.
We lift our hands.
When God chooses you, God chooses you to do something.
For you are
great.
You do miracles so great. There's no one else like you.
There is no one else like you.
For you are great.
You do miracles, Lord. The greatest miracle of all is to be born again. You need to come and talk with God. The altars are open. You need a blessing. If you need healing, come talk to God. Tell the Lord.
You deserve the glory.
He knows the thought and intent of your heart. But you got to open your mouth and confess it to him. Say, Lord, I believe. I believe your word. I'm chosen. I believe that you'll give me my miracle. I believe you'll restore my health. I believe, God, I take the limits off of you. You're an unlimited God.
Oh, you are great. You do miracles. So
miracles,
great.
Lord.
Woo! There is no one else like you.
Hallelujah.
There is no one else
Hallelujah.
Like you.
In the name of Jesus, receive your miracle. Woo! Glory, glory. Take it. Rabokoshatalama. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
There is
Shout aloud unto God and do you good. Hallelujah.
Woo!